We are in chapter 6 of Corinthians. These, like I explained earlier, or a little while back, these chapters 4, 5, and 6 are kind of tough to preach on, but it is things that we, all of us, each need to know and understand in the Scriptures. So today the title is, We Are to Glorify God. This is in a different area. This week the Scriptures, we're going to see the issue of indulgence of the human body. Are the actions we take benefit or not? And will our actions enslave me and have a bad effect on the church and our witness for Christ? And that's what each one of us has to look at. And how we treat our human body is important. We're going to look at the abuses of the principles of Christian liberty. It's a tough one. We will see we are to flee from sexual immorality, and we're to glorify God in the Christian body. Now, understand, just so I can give a little more clarification here, after this we end chapter 6, we're going to take a break from it because I have a whole series for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so after the first year we'll be taking this back up and starting in chapter 7. So we'll wind up these chapters right now. So let's read where we're at today, and starting in verse 12 of chapter 6. And Paul is talking to the church, the Christian church. This is why I have to preach this, folks. I just can't go around things. All things are lawful for me, but not all things helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So, like I say, these aren't the funnest preachings. Next week's going to be a lot of great time. I like that, okay? I enjoy the Christmas season. And in fact, I just started yesterday. They have the Christmas channel out with the Christmas songs, and I started listening to it, and I was like, oh, man, I like this. So, as we get through this, Paul opens this up, though. All things are lawful for me. And this is where he's talking to the church about Christian liberty. If we were to stop reading right there, we could claim that everything's good to go and we can do whatever we want if we stop right there. But that ain't what Scripture tells us. We could do anything we desired, but that ain't what it is. But then Paul says, but not all things are helpful. And we're talking about the human body. And there are normal functions and instincts that need to be fulfilled. I understand this. And when you think about it, we live, we eat, we sleep, we socialize to fulfill the needs of the body. This is normal. This is how we were created. And we must remember that God created the human body along with everything in the world, and then he says, and it was good. But what happened? Sin entered. When sin came, the world fell, man fell, sin entered everything. Paul is sitting here and he goes, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. There's the clarification. And you think about it, when it says all things may not be helpful, or it may say beneficial, the actual Greek word that is used for those words is, you could use the word worthwhile, advisable, profitable. That kind of changes things quite a bit. But not all things are worthwhile. But not all things are advisable. But not all things are profitable. See, it changes the thought process. Now, he goes into the first thing, and he's going to talk about food here. That's one that I wish he would have skipped around. We have our own problems. Now, I'll just flat confess, I cannot turn down ice cream, folks. Now, I can be truthful. I've never asked God to take that desire away. Ice cream is not for just breakfast anymore. You can have it any time. But scripture, I'm in the air. I'm in wrong. We can eat food that's good for us. We understand that. And that's right. But if we eat food that is bad or poisonous or anything like that, it's not going to be good. And I know it affects cholesterols and all that kind of stuff. And you think about it as our body. Being active is good for our bodies. It truly is. And lying around doing nothing is not good. And I found, because I had worked construction my entire life until I started pastoring years ago, and all of a sudden I wasn't near as active. They have to do things. So I got one of these little cubby things. You put your feet on, you go back and forth. And it helps, whatever it takes. But we are to take care of our bodies, and I understand this. He says, but I will not be dominated by anything. That's the key there. This is being brought under the power of. The power of whatever is dominating us in that area. We are to be in control, not enslaved. Are we a slave to food? Oh, man. You can tell I'm a pound or two over. Maybe five. Are we a slave to alcohol, to drugs, desires, pleasures, or are we in control? Yeah, right. I think that, and we have to understand, as we looked at Corinthians here, and Paul wrote two letters to him, actually three. First one's not recorded for us. But the church at Corinth had had all the spiritual blessings. But as I said, the city of Corinth was pretty, what we would call liberal today, or very loose in their thinking. You could pick out cities. Anything on the West Coast you could pick out. And the church is there, and you could start to gravitate towards those kind of things, and that's not good. And I think that what Paul's trying to tell the church, hey, you're starting to drift here. Because some may have been claiming that they could do anything they wanted. I'm saved, so I can do anything I want. That's not what God's telling us here. We're not to let sin reign in our bodies. Period. And being enslaved to things is letting sin reign. And that's a problem. And I know that with me, with food. And it's something I struggle with. Look at Romans 6:12 for me, please. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Now that could be as he starts out with food here, and we're going to get into the other things. But we have to understand that. We're not to do that. So keep asking God, if you struggle with a sin, Just keep asking God to cleanse you and to change you. You know that last song, Change My Heart, O God? Pray that, sing that song from the heart, truly. If we think about this Christian liberty and freedom that we have, because we do, as Christians in Corinth, and their thinking got started to get a little bit off key. And Paul's going to clarify and give understanding to this Christian liberty. And so we need to understand that. And Paul starts and he says, right after this, he goes and he says, food is meant for the stomach and stomach for the food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. When we look at food for the body, we understand that the body needs food. It's natural. It needs it to live. The body does. And it says food for the stomach and stomach for the food is needed to fulfill that function for the body. We understand this. We got to eat to keep going there. But we don't need to indulge like we do. I say we, I'm including you with me, but we don't want to be enslaved to it. And sometimes that can happen. And it's tough. When we understand that food and the stomach are temporary and it's a transitory, we're not to give in to that. We're not to give in to it. We're not to give in to the urges of our stomach. And those. Look at Ecclesiastes 6:7 for me, please. All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite's never satisfied. You ever ate something that's really, really good? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to have just a little more. You know, there's just a little bit left. I'll clean the edge of the plate there. It makes it nice and rounded out, whatever. I'm not saying you guys do that. I'm just relating facts of me. But he's talking about food on this. Now he goes into something that's a little bit tougher when he says that the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The sexual desires for the human body are natural and normal. Understand. But God does give us some guidelines in that area, and very much so. And I kind of think the way Paul wrote this, the more I kept looking into it, is that the Christians in Corinth were possibly saying the same thing that the people are saying today. As you listen to people when they talk about different things, well, I'm doing my thing. I'm just doing what comes naturally. I'm following my instincts. I will say this, the body is not designed for fornication. And that is in a perverse way. It has a place in carrying out the human race, also in building a strong union and a foundation for the family. It is natural, the husband and wife. Sex belongs to the body, but the body does not belong to sex. And I think that's where people can get it. The body is not to be given over to a slave to sex. So as I go through this, this is maybe harsher. You may say, why are you talking? Well, it's in Scripture. The body is to control sex, and sex is not to control the body. I think that's important. Because what's the Scripture say? And I'll just move out of that. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Mm-hmm. And it gets very important here. We can go back and ask the question from verse 12. Is it helpful or is it beneficial? Food, sexual immorality, will they overpower us and dominate us? Or will it support the truth that the body is for the Lord? And I think this is where we need to go. Understand this, and I think this is where hopefully I can wrap, or not wrap, but get a little more understanding here. The Lord created the body and intended it to be used for His glory. Our bodies are different from anything else, any beasts, fish, animal, any of that kind of stuff. And our bodies are created to worship, praise, and serve the Lord. That is what our bodies are do. You do not see animals, fish, or anything worshiping and praising the Lord. But we were created for that purpose. Look at Matthew 4:10. And this was in the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and with him only you serve." Worshiping and serving the Lord is what God created us for, to worship and serve Him. It says, "And the Lord for the body." Think about this, and that's why I say our bodies are created uniquely different from anything else, because God created our bodies for Him to dwell in. When you think about that, we were created that God's Spirit would dwell in us. No other animal is created that way. No other beast, no other thing is created that His Spirit would dwell in us. And that's where I think the focus has to be. Because look what he says in verse 14, "And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power." First of all, this is not talk about any animal or beast or anything that he's going to raise up. It's for humans only. We're very special. The human body was designed to be resurrected. No other animal was. No other thing was to be resurrected. Only us. We were created for this. The body is not to be designed to be in a grave forever. When an animal passes, that's it. Not us. We weren't created for that. And that's where I think the focus has to be. Yes, food, other things. But we're created to worship and serve God. To have His Spirit dwell in us. Now, I want us to understand, and when you're looking at the scriptures we're looking at here, in verse 14, it brought up something that I saw, and I just want to share it with you. It says, "And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power." And you're saying, okay, yeah, I got it. Well, there's something interesting that I want to share with you. The difference is the verbs used in this verse, in this one verse. When it says raised the, raise the Lord, the actual Greek word there, and then it says, will also raise, or He will raise, is a different Greek word for the word raised. Two different words were used for the word raised. Here's where the implications that I want to show you in the contrast in the verbiage here is that we contrast the Lord in the fact that we will be raised from corruption, from a group of corrupt senators. The Lord was not a sinner, was not corrupt. He was not raised from that. We will be raised from the corruption. Interesting how God works that into our word. And I can say this is why sometimes we have to look at the Greek sometimes to get full understanding. Jesus was not raised from corruption, but we will be raised from that corruption. As believers, we're going to be risen. We're going to be risen. Look at John 6:40 for me, please. "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life." And then what did Jesus say? "And I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus is going to raise us up on the last day. Very important there. He's going to raise us up to his glory, to eternal life with him. We are going to be raised up from the corruption of sinful. What an absolute blessing that is, folks. Do we understand more why we were created? Why our bodies are the way we are? We're created to worship and praise and glorify him in all ways and all possible. This is what we're to do. It's understandable and important that we see that. Because what does Paul turn around and do in his next few verses? He talks about this. Interesting, he says, do you not know your bodies are members of Christ? So for believers, do you not know that? Sometimes believers don't realize that. Do you not know your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take a member of Christ and make it then members with a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. A lot says here. Paul is emphasizing this point. Your bodies are members with Christ. Does that get our thinking off of food, off of the other things? Your bodies are members with Christ. What's that mean? As believers, our bodies belong to the Lord. We belong to him. Christ died for you. Christ redeemed you. Christ took the pain and ransomed you. You owe your life and your body to Jesus Christ. So all of a sudden that makes us think a little bit more about the passions of whatever it is, food, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, whatever, and say, wait a minute, Lord. My passion needs to be on you, Lord. You purchased me. You ransomed me. You died for me. I'm a member of you, Christ. When we accepted Christ into our life, we truly became a believer. When we did truly believe, at that point, the Holy Spirit came into us. And now we have God's divine nature dwelling in us. Folks, do you realize when it says Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that triune, you've been invited into the greatest collection, whatever you want to call it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You've been invited into that with them. What a huge blessing that is, folks. That is gigantic. As believers, we form the body of Christ. His life and all he is what we as believers form together. Look at John 14:20. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're in that three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You want to talk about special? Do you realize as believers how special you truly are? You're really special. God loves you so much, he wants you in. He's dwelling in you with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've not asked Christ to be in your life, that's easy. You want to join the group? Ask him to come in. Believe. We're not to be united with, and it says here, a prostitute or a harlot, we're not to be united with those of the world. That's what it's saying. The body is meant to be a member of Christ. And we are to honor God. We're to worship him, praise him, exalt him. We're to be joined together in spirit with the Lord. And that's what's crucial for us. Whatever those desires, passions, whatever those, all them different things that can be, they're pass them off. Being joined with the Lord, think about this a minute. Being joined with the Lord because of his Holy Spirit, we have, Scripture tells us, the mind of Christ. Wow, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? We are united with the Lord spiritually. Huge blessing for us, folks. And think about this, as believers, because we have that divine nature of God dwelling in us, because we have that, the Holy Spirit in us, means we are a temple of God. And you think, what? We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're a temple of God. Our body is a temple of God. And we're very temple. We have the presence of Christ with us. How amazing is that, folks? That our us, each one of us, is a temple for the Lord. And what do you do in the temple of God? What was shown in the whole entire Old Testament? You go to the temple to do what? Worship God. Praise God. Exalt God. Have communion with God. It doesn't have things to do with the world. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it means our bodies belong to Christ. They no longer belong to ourselves. And it's actually, we are the body of Christ. We don't want to join the body of Christ, and it says here with the prostitute, but prostitute with the world. Whatever it is. And then Paul says in verse 18, he says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So the one that commits the sexual immorality is committing sin against his own body. It is weakening and perverting our life process is what it's doing. But notice what Paul says. Flee! He's telling us, run from it. Get away from it. We're to flee from that. But we all know, too, that that is something that can be very temptation. But we have the mind of Christ. When things come that are going to temptate you, whatever it is, God, I need your help. Remember, Jesus had been 40 days, no food. Satan came and tempted him a whole bunch of things. He'll help us. Jesus will help us. Because it says I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you going through whatever you're going through. And then Paul continues, says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. This is so important. We are the temple of God. This building is just a building. Yes, it is the church. You come in here to worship. When Scripture tells us, do not forsake the gathering together. Yes, we do this. But things have changed. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in each and every one of us. Our bodies are more important than any building. You can worship God outside. You can worship God driving down the street. You can worship wherever you're at. Because your body is a temple of God. It's a temple. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But I think what this verse does is it expands it even all the more. This verse just... when you look at what it says here, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You have this from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God to you. Think about that a minute. You cannot earn or work for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. You cannot. When you believe in Christ as your Savior, God gives you this gift. God gives you that gift. He gave us the gift of His Son. And we're going to see this over this next month as we celebrate God's birth. He gave us the gift of His Son. And look at Christmas. If you get presents from anybody, here's a package, I give you a gift, and you never open it, you never receive it, you set it on a shelf, is that gift worth anything?
No.
You have to receive the gift. You have to open the gift. The gift was his. God gave his son. And what did Jesus say? I give you the Spirit to dwell in. Receive the Spirit of God. And think about this, folks. As you're given a gift at Christmas, birthdays, anniversary, whatever, do you tell the person thank you? Yeah. Have you ever, think about this, and this is a personal decision, please don't answer. Have you ever thanked God for giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit? Think about that a second. God gave you His Spirit to dwell in you, to help you, to be your counselor, to guide you. Have you ever said, thank you, Lord. I couldn't have made it without you. I couldn't have done it. Thank you, God. That God would give us the gift of His Spirit to dwell in us. Folks, there's nothing better. Nothing. I don't care what gift you can get out of the world, it doesn't even compare. That gift that gives us draws us closer to God. The Holy Spirit will lead your prayers. The Holy Spirit will lead your direction. Where am I to go to work? What am I to do? How am I to do this? What do you want me? The Holy Spirit is there to counsel you, to help you. Christ said He'll be a helper for you. I think this is one of the most amazing gifts. God gave His Son and then gave us His Spirit. Wow. Put it for me, Acts 2:38, please. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you, what? Will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will. The only way you get to receive the gift of the Spirit is to believe. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way. If you have never done that, you could have been in church all those years. I didn't get saved till I was in 20s. My parents took me to church, but I didn't get saved till I was in my 20s. Till finally I realized it and received Christ as my Savior. And the Holy Spirit came into me. It's a free gift. We need to understand that believers, we don't own our own bodies. And I think that's what the scripture is trying to tell us that we're looking at today. You don't own your own body. God laid claim to it. I designed you to worship me. I designed you to exalt me. Your body is designed to be resurrected. Your body is designed to receive the Holy Spirit into you. I want it manifested to the fullest. Jesus Christ bought our bodies on the cross. He paid for them. We became servants of God, and that's what we're to do. Servants of God. That is what we've been called to do, each and every one. As a Christian, every one of you is called into ministry, one way or another. Could be ministry, you go to work as a man, you support your family, you're leading them in the Lord, you're teaching them the scriptures, whatever the case. Being a wife, you're taking care of your family, you're taking care of your spouse, you're taking care of the house, you're doing all the things that happen. That's your ministry. It could be a ministry of prayer. I think prayer ministry is the most valuable tool there is. To have prayer warriors. Your ministry could be, doesn't matter. Great voice to sing. I wasn't blessed with that. But we were bought to worship and praise and exalt God. Not to focus on the things that he looked at in the first few verses there. And it says here that for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. a price. You ever thought about what that price was? Death of Christ. God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. He put His Son on that cross for you. I can't explain it, folks. Our body and our spirit are to glorify God. That is what we're called to do. You're bought with a price. Christ's redemptive work on the cross. His blood that was shed for you. You think about the blood that Christ shed covers all our sins. Every single one. There's not one that it does not cover. He bled for us. It says bought here. Now, here's another thing where I want to say, and we've understood that He bought us. But when I'm sorry, folks, I love going into the Greek wording on this. The word bought here, when you look at the Greek wording, it actually is referring to and meaning to buy in the marketplace of slavery. He bought you out of slavery. That brings a lot more to it than He just went down and paid for you. He bought you out of slavery. And you think about that. The idea here is that Jesus Christ paid our ransom. He bought us out of enslavement to sin. He bought us out of that. He bought us out of death. He bought us out of hell. We have been freed, liberated from sin, death, and hell because of Christ. So when you think about your body and being used, we want to glorify God now. We want to understand that. We want to exalt Him. We want to preach His name. He did all that for us. We were slaves to and in bondage to sin, to death, to hell. And He bought us out of that. But the nice and the awesome part about this whole thing is we are now free to live a life of righteousness unto God. We're free to do that. We can do that. Put it for me, Romans 3:24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us. Every one of us. And are justified by His grace as a gift. Here comes that gift again. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do we understand the redemptive work of Christ? How He bought us out of slavery with His own blood. Amazing. Last one, Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Do you realize, folks, forgiveness for sins? You know, sins is we trying to do the right thing. And we don't do it. We want to do right. And we don't do it. And they use the term of archery. You're shooting at a bullseye. And you're trying to hit it, but you don't hit the bullseye. Do you hit the bullseye every time? No. And we can go back to when I was a week or two ago. I showed you where Paul was talking in Romans chapter 7. Hey, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Same thing here. We have the forgiveness of all sins. By this alone, in this section, 12 through 20, and looking and studying at this here, all of us should want to relinquish our bodies to worship and serve God in every way possible and thank Him every way possible because of what He did for us. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I praise You and I thank You, Lord Jesus. I thank You. And I just ask right now, Lord, that You would receive our praise, receive our worship, receive our thanks. Lord, You did it all for us. We can never thank You enough, but we're going to try, Lord. Lord, I ask right now that You would draw every single person sitting in here, draw them closer to You, God. Reveal more of this to us individually, Lord, so that we have better understanding, we have better knowledge, that we will worship you more, exalt you more, and love you more, Lord. Lord, and I think about that last song, Lord. Open our hearts up and overflow it with your love, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our minds, that our focus is on worshiping and glorifying you, God. I thank you for doing this, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If the worship team come forward, please.